Luba, good morning. Your thoughts on the Constitutional Court ruling yesterday?
Good morning. It's a mixed bag. You know, it's the difficulty I find with it is that I try and balance my experiences and how it plays out. So, a lot of effort. So here's the thing. When I was growing up, I think we have different understanding of corporal punishment. Hello?
Yeah, Luba, we can hear you. It's not a brilliant line, but if I don't interrupt you, then it becomes a little bit more stable.
Okay, let me be quick. Let me put it this way. In my upbringing, I experienced two types of corporal punishment. When I came to Cape Town at school, in a private school, teachers weren't allowed to give corporal punishment except for, let's say, your housemaster or your form teacher. So a female teacher would give you a little slip and send you to the teacher, and you were spanked in privacy. And there was a maximum of six per day. So it looked fairly controlled and reasonable. Now, back in the Eastern Cape in Alice, under Bund Education in a black school, you could get whipped all day through. So if your first period was maths and you hadn't done your homework, the teacher could hit you, let's say, give you 8 lashes. And then if you committed some other offense during the same period, they could dish out punishment again. So effectively, each teacher had their cane in classroom, and you know, you were lined up against the wall, and he would give you a particular calculation. If you got it wrong, stick out your hand 3 times, move on to the next guy. So you were punished in the company of all your peers, and you could, if you had, let's say, 8 periods that day, you could effectively get, you know, corporal punishment 8 times. So that's my experience. One was almost very aggressive, and it was personal. You know, people would hit you for no reason. I lived in town, and the teacher would say, "You guys are spoiled brats. You live in town, not in the villages." And so we were, you know, hit far more than the other guys. So I do understand the need for corporal punishment, but what I'm just saying is that it can be abused tremendously, and that has been my experience, that it was abused. And we had to pad up and, you know, and put on extra pairs of shorts just to survive the day. And that was the issue. At the same time, as a parent, you do want to be able to discipline a child. There lies the challenge is, where do you strike the balance? Because if you're going to get religious, you're going to say it's my right. But I've seen this being abused. And for me at home, I've tended to steer well clear of it. Growing up, my father always claimed to have a cane in his wardrobe. So whenever we upset him, he would march for the bedroom and say, "Where's my cane?" And you ran the other way and disappeared for half an hour. And when he passed away, we actually found he never had a cane. So with him, it was the threat of punishment. Wow. He never actually got to it. So what worked was the fact that he knew if you really upset him, that's what he would say. So the question is how do you balance this? Because when I've discussed this with friends, somebody will say to me, "Howard lives in Joburg and is a reasonably well-off guy. So you can deprive your daughter of Wi-Fi, of her iPad, of gadgets as punishment, instead of corporal punishment." And then somebody will say, "But I stay in Alex. I don't have gadgets. I don't have pocket money. So the only way to discipline my kid is through corporal punishment, because I can't take away privileges because there are none." So you then get these issues. But I think for me, I certainly still bear the scars emotionally of really being laid into by teachers for no apparent reason. And so I'm not a great fan of it, but I do understand that
I think there's a very big difference between somebody else hitting your child and you as a parent. I think I think there's an absolutely no-go area for any other adult. You can be frustrated as you like. Go for a run. No adult can ever hit another person's child.
What I'm saying is how it is that the problem is, as a parent, you can sometimes be stressed about something
That's really pretty much what David is saying. Mm-hmm. David, you wanted to...
I was going to say, morning, Luba. I mean, just to say that, you know, again, I'm going to reiterate this, that it sounds, you know, as parents, we feel like we have to be in control. So, you know, in control is often perceived as being, I hit you or I do something physical to you. But I'll say it again, and I've said it this morning, the most powerful thing you can do for your child is, if you've got a strong relationship, a loving relationship, is disapproval and upset. And when you say to a child, so even if you don't have a cell phone to give, you know, or the Wi-Fi to switch off, The bottom line is, if you have to say to a child, you know, I am devastated by your behavior. It is, you want to hurt me, you want to insult me, you've done it. Great job. I do not want to be around you right now. I'm out of here. I'm going. And for me, that allows you space, to calm down so that you can parent in a rational way. I'm not saying not in a harsh way. You can still set serious consequences for your child, but that is probably the most serious consequence you can set for your child. It allows him to calm down, her to calm down.
Isn't that in some ways more harmful? It's almost like withholding love for a period. See, isn't that more harmful?
It's not. It's about saying to them, I love you and care about you, but your behavior is absolutely hurtful, unacceptable. Yeah.
I agree with you completely, but then the challenge is you get the strong-willed child. And for me, that hasn't turned out well. So
it's true. For us, it didn't work either, that. Yeah, it's true.
With some, I can say to them, I'm not happy. Now, I've had a boy who, bless his soul, went to Hertha. Now, he would get up in the morning and I would say, you are late. You are making everybody late. I will leave you at home and leave you at home, not take you to school. He would say, that's fine, Dad. And I would say to him, but there's a test today. He'd say, you want to leave me? Go ahead. And I promise you, I would drive out the gate. He would talk. He'd go back to his room. And so I found that stating that I disapproved.
I think we share a child. Yeah.
Luba, did you actually drive away at any point? Just out of interest. Did you ever leave him at home?
I left him at home and he chilled, he sat, he relaxed. On one day, listen to this one, he was writing his matric exam. He faffs around, his sister leaves him. I tell his sister I was in Joburg, leave him if he's not ready. His sister drives off. The school phones me and says, listen, where is your son? The exam is starting an hour. If he's not here, he will fail the year. I call an Uber for the guy. And I phone him, I say, where are you? He says, where's the Uber? I said, the Uber's at the gate. He says, well, I never saw it. I said, do you understand? If you're not there. And he's chilled, as chilled as anything. So I've tried that. So what I'm just saying is I found that there's some people for whom the fact that I'm displeased, he says, well, that's your problem, that's your choice, and off he goes.
Well, I just want to read a couple of messages. Stan says, if another child irritates you, just go and hit the father. Now, Stan, I don't think that's what David is advocating here at all, or Luba. And further, someone else unsigned says, using guilt to replace corporal punishment, it sounds so Jewish.
It is very Jewish. Absolutely. You've offended me. You've upset me.
Yeah, that's it. You know what? You know, after all I've done for you. In fact, interesting, one of the things, as Luba was talking about that, the leaving a child at home, one of the things that my wife once did was, one of our kids just wouldn't get organized for school. And it was young, 5, 6, somewhere around there. I don't remember the exact age. And she said, if you don't get ready, I will take you as you are.
Right.
And, she dragged him off to school in his pajamas. He never did that again either. I don't know if they actually got there and went in and whatever, but he saw that she was serious.
But that's the point. The point is around finding that consequence. And so sometimes it is about, you know, as you say, it's a very good example of not wanting to get dressed or not wanting to, you know, that, no, it's not, well, you're still going to school. So your choice is, do you either get dressed or you don't.
Correct.
So for some children, driving off and leaving them at home with nothing to do is an absolute punishment. Mm. And remember, children
for
not.
For Luba's kid, it was a day of freedom.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, David, is that to a certain age, your wife could get your daughter in the car, provided she was 8, 9, 10. Mm. But if you're dealing with a 14, 15 year old, you can't manhandle them into the car. So if they say, well, I'm not going to school if I'm not changing, lies the problem is that there's an age where you're intimidating enough physically, say, you know, without hitting them, but say I disapprove, and they worry about that. But they get to an age where your approval doesn't really matter as much, where they say, well, that's your view. You're leaving me at home, so be it. And that's the problem, is that when they get older, you can't, you know, you can express things, but it is more difficult to enforce them because you're not dealing with them with a 10-year-old. You're dealing with somebody who's maybe 15 or 16.
Mike Luba says, we're on the road to self-destruction with taking power away from parents. There is a difference between abuse and the occasional corporal punishment. Have these decision makers ever had a teen addict? Out of control force must be used on them. So now what? Mm. I don't think that advocating that that there isn't a legal way to restrain or to
institutionalize
yeah. somebody.
No, there are. And I think the point is that absolutely, as children get older, I think Luba's making a very important point, that they don't
respond to the same thing
or care what we think. You know, we care what our friends think rather, but there's always a consequence that even a teenager you would find is going to respond to. And what I wanted to say is often parents, for example, like exams, you know, we are so invested in certain things. We are more invested than the child. And that's where the problem lies. And often that is the hardest thing about parenting, is watch a child knock their heads really hard. And I'm not talking about in a physical way. So if a child had to miss the exam, and they have to now and the principal comes in and says, you're going to now have to write it in the holidays, because then you're going to have to repeat the year. There needs to be a natural consequence, and that's part of parenting.
David, here's my question for you. Yeah. A lot of these things we're being asked to change, whether it's gender fluidity, how we parent, corporal punishment. But here's my question. For thousands of years, this has been the norm, and it seems to have worked. Why does this particular generation feel that somehow all the rules must be rewritten for them? Because, you know, 100 years ago, there were different forms of corporal punishment at home and at school. And most of us came through that system intact and okay. Yes, there was incidences of abuse, like I mentioned, but it still served a purpose and we came through not emotional wrecks on the other side. Why does this generation feel that every single rule for them has to be rewritten and we cannot do what we've done? The tried and tested methods somehow I'm not accepted for them.
All right, Luba, I'm going to ask David to answer that question. And then, unfortunately, we do have to wrap up this conversation. Time is 8:57. David, your response to Luba's question.
Well, I think the question is, has it really worked? Has it really been effective? And I think we do live in a different world today. You know, children used to play outside a lot more, had a lot more freedom to be away from their parents. There was a lot more space, a lot less pressure. I think things are very different today than they were in the past. And so we're trying to adapt. But I do agree with Luba that we've got to be very careful. You know, when we hear, you know, spare the child, spare, you know, the rod.
Spare the rod and spoil the child.
Yeah. We're not talking about spoiling the child. We're talking about setting.
And we shouldn't be talking about rods either.
Yeah. We are talking about setting firm, clear, harsh consequences.
And I think that's the point that you've emphasized quite strongly here, is that you are not by disagreeing with the fact that parents want to or should or can hit their child, you are not advocating weak parenting.
No.
Quite the contrary, you're saying firm parenting is absolutely vital. It just needs to be done in a different way. Time is 8:58. You can continue sending your messages 34519 or 0618951019.